able to go to bed at night, the only pill I've had in 55, y'all need a pill to get up in the morning, and some of y'all need a pill to go to bed at night, the only pill I've had in 55 years is the gospel. I am not a meds guy. I'm just not, man. If he's not real, then we're all messed up. Oh, huge. So, okay, here's what's weird. Obviously, this, which, by the way, those of you using cards, letters, text, all that, thank you so much. It was very encouraging. And I just, yeah, you're supposed to come out of surgery and just go. You know, and I didn't realize that it was going to be a process. We'll kind of talk about this here in a minute, but it's the process that can be the drag. You know, the one bad thing about TBN is we always get to see the end result. You know, we get to see T.D. Jakes and how awesome his church is, but we don't get to see what he went through to get to that position. That's where the testimony is. You will not have a testimony if you don't have a test. That's not even in my notes. So, by the way, two weeks from today is Easter.
Wow.
I know, man. I'm still singing Christmas music in my head. But so here's what I did. The word fascinates me, and just the whole understanding of the Bible fascinates me, and the time frame fascinates me. So I decided to go back 2 weeks from when Easter is to find out what Jesus was doing 2 weeks before his death. And you know, he was the only one that knew he was fixing to die in 2 weeks. Everybody else didn't have a clue what he's talking about or nothing. He knew. So in the midst of all this, he's 2 weeks away from his own death. And here's what happened. So there was a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, in the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent word to him saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory, doxa, of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." So now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. By the way, this message has been taught beautifully by a ton of people about Lazarus and this whole thing that we're going to talk about today. I'm going to bring it to you from a different view. I think Lazarus had been really covered. T.D. Jakes, there's another great guy that really covered the Lazarus part of it, but I think we kind of missed the Jesus part of it. So I want to talk about the Jesus part of it. And this is kind of the first point here. That word glory means opinion, judgment, or view. So when at any time you say, "I want to give glory to God," that means you're wanting to raise up your opinion of him to others, your judgment of him to others, and your view of him to others. So when you start taking credit for things that happen in your life, you're not giving glory to God. You're giving glory to your own abilities and your own self. Do you get it? So this whole thing is very, very important for us to understand, that if we truly want to give all glory to God, then the next time that you're cut off in traffic, you're going to give glory to God that he didn't cause an accident. You're going to raise his view and his opinion of who he is in judgment to other people. That's how we give glory to God. It's not this weird thing that we've created in Christendom. The truth is, that's what Jesus was saying he was going to do. And isn't it interesting that he said, we're going to give glory to God. We're going to raise his opinion. We're going to raise his view. We're going to raise our judgment of him in a couple of days. I don't like the couple of days. I told you, I just came out of surgery, and I'm supposed to be ready to go. You know what I noticed too this week? You know, the word's very clear that by his stripes we are healed. It's very clear. We took communion this morning, and that bread really does represent his healing. His healing power. Do you hear me? That's his healing power. The blood represents the forgiveness of sin, and that's even more incredible because that takes care of our ticket to heaven. You get it. But here's what I want you to see that's quite interesting to me that I've never seen in all the 100 years I've been alive ever seen before. Every bit of our healing was taken care of prior to him getting on the cross. 39 stripes. You can probably Google it online and somebody will find 39 different diseases we can talk about. It's not the point. The point is everything that Christ did for us concerning healing was done prior to the cross. Now, wait a minute. They stabbed him, yeah, after he was dead. I'll let y'all chew on that for a while, marinate on that for a while. So, I'm going to give glory to God in this, but I'm going to wait a couple days. Why would that give glory to God? There's sometimes things need to be dead before God can receive the glory in it. That includes us. You know, the word's very clear. Jesus talked about it. You know, we died with him. Well, some of us maybe haven't died yet. Maybe we're just still kind of down there, just crippled up. Once we die to him, that's only when life can come up out in the resurrection. Let's continue the story. None of this is in my notes. How crazy is that? So, when Jesus came, he found that he'd already been in the tomb for 4 days. And now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. And Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. Now, isn't that opposite of the normal story? Remember, it's always Martha doing the cooking in the kitchen and Mary sitting lazily at Jesus' feet. Well, the roles have reversed. Mary stayed home and Martha came. And Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd have been here, if you'd have just been here, this wouldn't have, if you'd have just been here. Again, sometimes things need to die to give glory to God. If you'd have just been here, then it would have been just like any other healing that he did. Well, right? Blind eyes, leprosy. No. He wanted to give some serious glory, judgment, view, opinion of who his daddy was. If you'd have just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. That's true. She's speaking truth. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now watch this. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. This is powerful. And Jesus said to her, I am not an event. I am the resurrection. And I am the life. You get that? Up to that point, dude, the Sadducees and Pharisees, one of their biggest battles was, is the resurrection real? And now you've got this guy saying, I ain't talking about an event. I'm talking about me. I am the resurrection. Anastasia, however you say it. And I am the Zoe. And he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Martha, do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes in the world. That's not what Jesus asked. He didn't ask her if she thought he was the Messiah. He asked her if she thought that he was the resurrection and the life. You see, that word resurrection means the raising up of the dead, yes, but it also means the raising up of the dead and the moral recovery of spiritual truth. And that word life, Zoe, you know it's one of my favorite words. It means the absolute fullness of life. Every avenue of your being is Jesus. He is our life. He is the resurrection. He's the life. So most of us believe that he is the Christ, But do you believe that he's the moral recovery of spiritual truth with resurrection power and is the absolute fullness of life? Because that's what matters on this earth. You got your ticket to heaven, now what? I'm here to proclaim to you, he is the Messiah. Holy smoke, obviously he's the Messiah. He's the only one. Pick your God. All y'all want to find a God? All gods go to heaven? No, they don't. They're all dead except him. Do you get what I'm saying? They're all dead, except him. Sep. That's a Texas word right there. Sep. Sep him. I feel country now. I feel like I'm back in Gay's hometown of McGee, Arkansas. Sep. So I want you to see the scenario. Jesus asked her, do you believe I'm the resurrection of life? And she says, oh, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we're going to keep this story going. So right now, Jesus has got some stuff stirring in him. I'm not worried about Lazarus. Like, by the way, just so you know, Lazarus does raise from the dead. Just want you to know he did. I know you already know that, but I just want to remind you that he did. So but we're not going to even have to go there today. So you got this thing stirring in Jesus. So let's keep going in the scripture, because I love scripture. So now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. And then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw Mary, got up quickly and went out, and they followed her, supposing that she was going to go to the tomb to weep there. Well, therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him, fell at his feet. She's pretty good at this feet stuff. You know what I'm saying? She was always at his feet. She was the worshiper. Between Martha and him, she was the worshiper. She was the one that loved him. She was the one that knew him. But the problem is, she said the same thing that Martha said. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. So that covers all of us, right? All of the holy Joes, all the way down to those of us who don't think we're much of anything. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. So when therefore Jesus saw her weeping, kala'o, that's important, and the Jews who came with her were doing the same thing, he was deeply moved, imbri ma'ai, if you want to learn how to speak in tongues, in spirit, and was tarasso, troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. So Jesus wept. Different word. Look, different word. By the way, this word's only used one time. One time in Scripture. One time in the original language. It's only used one time in the Bible. Right there. So the Jews were saying, see how much he loved him? But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man also from dying? So Jesus, again, being Imbri ma'amiyamai within, came to the tomb, and now it was a cave, and a stone was laying there. You notice that both of the girls said, if you just would have been here. Now here's what I want you to hear. Deeply moved, that word embryo, whatever, you're horse people. You ever had a horse get mad at you? What does it do? Snorts. And it snorts, right? That's what this word means. It's an angry horse. So Jesus is angry. I want you to hear this. So he's angry. It's like a horse snort or an admonition or anger. That word troubled means an inward commotion, a disturbing of the calmness. It's when Jesus would say, don't let your heart be troubled. Same word. He was troubled in his spirit and he was mad. We've never been told that before. And then that word weeping, where they were weeping over Lazarus, Mary was weeping and all the Jews were weeping, that word kla'o, it literally means to lament, to grieve, to mourn over the dead. But where it says Jesus wept, you know what that means? He cried. That's all. It's a simple word. It just means he cried. What does that tell you? I'll tell you what it tells me. He wasn't grieving. He was having compassion over those who were grieving. Why would he need to grieve when he knows he's fixing to raise the dude up from the dead? He got no reason to grieve. So, I did my little SVV version, Steve Van Zandt vetted version for that scripture so you'll understand it. Let's look at it. So when Jesus saw her, talking about Mary, saw her gut-wrenching pain, her uncontrollably crying, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was angry and irritated within his life-giving spirit and agitated and upset deep in his soul. Do you get this? This is the same area where when Jesus was grieving about going to the cross, same thing. When he said, not my will but thine be, this was serious to him. And so he was agitated and upset. So he said, where did you lay him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. So that's when Jesus cried. So the Jews were saying, see how much he loved him as a brother. But some of them said, couldn't this man who have opened the eyes of the blind keep Lazarus from dying? Verse 38. So Jesus, again, being extremely perturbed within himself, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and the stone was laying against it. In my understanding of studying through this, his agitation was about unbelief, not death. He was agitated because, you know what? He conquered death, but Jesus cannot conquer unbelief. Do you hear what I'm saying? And the proof of the pudding of that is, I promise you, every single one of you have had a divine miracle that has happened in your life that you probably didn't even recognize and or took credit for yourself that Jesus did. But yet there's still unbelief. It's the children of Israel when they were coming out and just constantly griping and complaining. We're hungry. He fed them. We want meat. He gave them quail. We're this, we're that, we're thirsty, and never did they ever recognize the miracle power of him to the point that even that they would just say, oh, we believe in God, but not that we believe he is God. We're kind of there sometimes. So I want to show you this last of the scripture, and then I'm done. And you'll be glad I am, I'm sure. The remainder of this scripture is going to make should make total sense to you about this stirring in Jesus about the unbelief. Here it is. Jesus said, remove the stone. And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, here's her belief system. By this time, he's going to stink, man. He's been in there 4 days. I could really run with that, but I won't, because I've been on places where that's happened. You've had a dead rat in your ceiling, right? Put a 150-pound dead rat in your ceiling, and that's the smell. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you're going to see some incredible... You're going to have the greatest, highest opinion, judgment, and view of God that you've ever had in your life. So they removed the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around me, I'm saying it out loud so that they can believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. And therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Sometimes Jesus has to wait 4 days so that we can believe in him. If you fast forward on this story, it's really kind of cool because they ended up coming back the next week, which was right before Palm Sunday, right before he started the walk on Palm Sunday. And the Bible says that he was there and Lazarus was there eating and stuff, and that the people were mostly came. They didn't come see Jesus. They came see Lazarus. How cool is that? People might want to see your miracle more than they want to see you. Don't get your feelings hurt. It's what babies are about, isn't it? Mama puts up 9 months, squeezing, throwing up and everything, has the baby, and everybody's looking at the baby. What about me? Well, sorry, it's the baby. You know, you need to let people enjoy your miracle without you having to get any glory for it. So, the Jews, when they saw that he was really alive, they planned to kill him. They planned to kill Lazarus. I just find that funny, because if you're going to try to snuff him out, you got to go all the way back to Cana, where he changed the water into wine and killed those people. You got to kill all the 5,000 people that he fed. You know, you get what I'm saying? You got to kill the blind man, the lepers, all 10 of them, not just the one that came back to thank. You're going to have to kill a whole lot of folks, but that's not today's message. I just thought it was funny. Here's what I know. I think one of the greatest things I wanted you to see in this, and I highlighted it, where he said, remove the stone. Isn't that not cool? Remove the stone. He said it one more time 2 weeks later from the inside. Yeah, think about that. Yeah, there wasn't nobody stole his body. He said, get the stone out my way. Because he was in a body. I'm just going to leave it with this. Put up that last thing I've got for you. Believing Jesus is the Messiah is your ticket to heaven. Believing he is the resurrection and the life is your victory on this earth. And Keith, he is the resurrection and the life. He's not just your Messiah. He's not just your ticket to heaven. And I'm believing with all my heart you got 22 more good years in you. And I'm telling you, he's the resurrection and life. He's the one that's going to get glory. You're going through the four-day process. I get it. I get it. Not in the extent that you get it, but I get it. You hear me? Carl, I'm talking to you. Hallelujah. Same thing, man. I'm telling you the truth. He is the resurrection and life. He's not just your Messiah. He's not just a, and you got to quit kicking yourself around. He don't get this. No, he's the resurrection. He's the life, and you're in the process. Walk in the process and believe he's, you got 22 more years in you. The reason I'm saying 22 more years, I feel like that's what the Lord told me concerning my own self. And that puts me to be really old, but you're younger than me, so you won't be that old. You get what I'm saying? Listen, that's for every single one of us in here. It's not just about our physical body. What are you going through? What are you going through? It doesn't matter. He is the resurrection. He's the life. He's the only thing that you have on this earth. You got your ticket, but now you can have Zoe. You can have everything that you've ever desired that he wants to give you. All for his glory. He's the one that's awesome. He's the one that did it all. He is the one. And good night, I feel good all of a sudden. My 30% just kicked up to 50%. He's all we got. But you know what? He's all we need. Finances, relationships, stop it. God is going to do such great things in your lives, guys. 4 days. I believe we're all at the 3.5 day. I text my wife something, I don't remember what it was, that was stirring in me concerning this darkness thing. That's why I know what it was. There's this darkness thing that's been happening with people. In fact, I believe Shannon, you even saw this little dark thing, right? Where you, anyway, so what I want you to understand is, I believe Jesus is exposing darkness so you can physically see it. And let me tell you why. Because it's darkness that is leaving, not darkness that is staying. Darkness that you walk in. Darkness where that you feel. It's not, he's exposing it. You see it over your shoulder. It's because it is leaving. It is not coming. Do you get what I'm saying? You better walk in that, because he is the resurrection and he is the life, and he's the only one that died, and he's the only one that rose again, and he's the only one that loves you stupidly. I do a little bit, but I can't love you as stupid as he does. Amen? I'm done.
Let's stand. Dwayne, come on up. Let's sing that song, Lord, You Are Good. I think it's time to celebrate. Yes. Kayla's home. We got Teddy K here. We got two Kaylas in a row. Love is flowing back there. Who's ready just to worship God and thank Him? Now, I'm serious about this, because I just believe it's time to say, if the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead lives in us, why can't I say, stone roll? Why can't I say, go, and that thing open up? You know why? Because we've been so indoctrinated with fear and our ability that, like Eric experienced, sometimes you have to get away from where you are to just release that stuff and say, God, you're bigger. You can say it today. Whatever that blockage is, I want you to say it today. Stone, go. Stone, go. God has made your body so that it will accomplish the purpose of heaven. And I want to finish, and I want to accomplish the purpose of heaven. Amen. Let's sing this song.